on Route 100 in Waterbury, Zachary's Pizza on Butler Street in Waterbury, Waterbury Center Auto Repair, Howard Avenue in Waterbury Center, Cold Hollow Cider Mill on Route 100 in Waterbury Center, Majestic Auto Body on Route 2 in Moortown, and Vermont Harvest online at vtharvest.com. Make your Christmas a special one. Tune in Christmas Eve to Midnight Mass starting at 11:30 p.m. on WDEV.
Now, hour number two of the Mark Johnson Show. And here he is, Mark Johnson. Is that good enough?
I don't know. I was going to ask you, how would you rate that on the enthusiasm scale there, Jack?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for hour number two of the Mark Johnson Show. Would you welcome Mark Johnson?
Okay, well, you know, I don't want to, you know, have to force it or anything. I have to really have to, you know, fake it.
I'm not going to do it another time.
Well, if you'd done it the first time, I would have believed it.
Two intros is enough.
So here's my only question for you.
I got the phone. Can I answer the phone here?
Yeah.
Probably it's Washington.
Yeah. All right. That's a good way to get out of my question.
That's all right. I'll be back.
All right. Coming up later this hour, we're going to talk with Phil Baruth. Phil is a state senator. You may have heard his name before. He also is a story writer, and he wrote a really nice piece for the folks up at the Vermont Stage Company who put on Winter Tales. So he'll be joining us coming up shortly. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls throughout this hour, maybe even feature a little bit more from the fabulous Miller Trio. Our numbers on the program are 244-1777, toll-free 877-291-8255.
Oh, music's still running. I'm supposed to pull that down.
No, it was great. During, okay. You know, yeah. Should keep it up for the next 55 minutes. Listen, our whole life would be a lot more interesting if there were a soundtrack continually on, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine you walking through life with a soundtrack right behind you.
Of your favorite music?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Bob Nayer's waiting by.
Awesome. All right. So, but you're not done yet. Have you been good this year? Are you going to get anything nice?
Yeah, it's a hard one to answer. You know, it's a long time, 365 days, wanting to know how good I've been the past year.
Well, you know, it's either good or bad, Jack. It's not really that complicated.
All right, I haven't hurt anybody, so I'm fine.
All right.
Yeah. You got a gift for me or something? Or what?
No.
Oh,
no.
Just
let's not go too far. All right, let's head out to Ohio. What's the weather like today, Bob Nay?
It is rainy. Not as rainy as you have it, but it's rainy.
Jack turned off my mic. He got so mad at me. How do you know it's raining back here?
I know everything. I know it's raining there.
Okay, what am I thinking right now?
That I think I know too much.
That's so close. No, I'm just kidding.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's going on out in political land?
Well, there's the Milwaukee police shooting. There's going to be a federal probe. The police officer, Officer Manny, was fired. He wasn't fired for the shots that killed a man named Hamilton, but he was fired for out of policy, where he did a search of the guy, and the man then attacked him, and he fired 14 shots into Mr. Hamilton. Mm. It was a fast-firing revolver, automatic, so it was actually 3 seconds of firing. But the actual firing is for out of policy, where he shouldn't have searched Mr. Hamilton, because he was already searched before that, which Officer Manny didn't know. But anyway, the feds are going to probe the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, you know, the whole thing of police or not, or, you know, people that are killed, and of course that segues into New York, where it seems that Mayor de Blasio, no matter what he does, cannot make a friend, period. He had called for the protesters to not protest for a couple of days because of the police officer's funeral on the heels of the union, very, very angry at him, saying that he stirred all of this up in the first place with comments after the grand jury spoke about the chokehold death.
Mm. Do you think there's anything to that? Let me just caveat this. Anybody that's suffering from grief, I just give them a big pass because, you know, people say and do unusual things, but is there anything to this claim that the mayor is not pro-police?
No, you know, I'm with you about the grief. People will become angry. They will, you know, in some cases try to, you know, blame somebody. This case, when you look at it, I can't see that the mayor had any cause. There was no cause and effect of these two officers being shot. But the police union is just, you know, furious. But honestly, Mark, I can't see where the mayor had anything to do with inciting anyone to kill the two police officers.
Yeah.
Hmm. The man was mentally deranged. He had shot his girlfriend.
Yep.
And went after the police officers.
Yeah, boy, you just, you know, the thing I worry about now is these copycats out there and people wanting to get their 15 minutes of fame. Jesus.
Sure, and, you know, in France, a man was yelling, "God is great, Allahu Akbar," and he took a van and rammed into 10 people. And a lot of these are, they're finding, are people who have some form of mental illness. It's not just all the fact that they're a jihadist Muslim, but they have some form of mental illness, and then there's a lot of the, you know, the copycat killings.
Yeah, yeah. Did we turn out the internet lights on North Korea?
I think we did. I think it was the United States that did it. So
and we have the capability to do that.
Well, you know, I would honestly say that Anonymous, the group Anonymous, is more capable than we are, but I think somehow we did do it. We're not admitting it, but I think we did do it. But Kim Jong-un it's not just that he's a madman. He likes this attention because he then uses it with his people who he's starving to death to say, oh, you see, they're after us. They're paying attention to us. And then he gets more military money and he, you know, tries to twist their mind. So it's like this whole vicious thing. I think the real thing to watch in the midst of this whole Sony episode is the fact that political people are now saying, oh, we need a new cyberspace bill. We need a new piece of legislation, which is actually a pretty invasive piece of legislation that hasn't been able to pass. But, you know, don't let any good emergency go unused. So I think that's going to be what you see next on the heels of the whole Sony thing. I mean, it wasn't like Sony was the White House being hacked.
Right. So what would that legislation, what are they talking about?
Well, John McCain is promoting it, and it's kind of a murky piece of legislation. It's sort of like Patriot Act-ish in the sense that it's a cyberspace bill. It hasn't went anywhere because nobody really knows, you know, what it would do. It's more of an invasive privacy regulation bill on people. You know, it's like, well, go after the North Koreans. Well, actually, it'll be used on citizens. And that's always been the fear of it. It's just a not defined bill. So we'll see what happens. But I did want to mention it because you're going to see John McCain saying, you know, we have to do something. And, of course, you'll see the Congress saying the same thing because of Sony. And really, Sony got more attention because of the idiocy of some of the emails they had more than anything.
Right.
And the fact that the movie theaters say that, you know, one thing about playing that movie, The Interview, and Sony says another. So we'll see if Sony rises to the cause of new cyber legislation.
What are you doing for Christmas?
I am going back to Belmont County, where I'm originally from. My entire family's down there, and I'm going to go down and eat and give toys to my grandkids, which I think I've got a nice thank you from Toys R Us this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
How's your Christmas?
Things are looking pretty good. So do you have difficulty with your sobriety during this time of the year?
No. Uh-uh.
That's
I've
good.
Lost the compulsion. I'm not saying you never say never with sobriety, but I've lost the obsession.
Yep. Good for you.
I don't have. But you remember too, when you drink like I did, but you know, Christmas and New Year's—that's amateur hour.
Right. Particularly New Year's. Yeah, that's really
right.
Totally
that's amateur hour. Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to mention?
Not just the fact that for Christmas, the Pope has ripped the Curia, and that's the kind of the organized council of cardinals and the structure of the church. I think it's kind of interesting. The Pope is just saying, hey, we've got to be more humble. We've got to give more money to the poor. But it's a kind of a statement you really haven't seen that much from a Pope. So that's a kind of the Merry Christmas for the Catholic side of things.
You know, it's interesting. You know, this guy's Pope Francis getting just such rave reviews. He seems to be really well liked. He's actually made some statements that I think would make a lot of people who like him kind of cringe. On the other hand, you know, he apparently played some sort of a role in Cuba, and there's now a hope and expectation that he might be able to actually do some work in the Middle East.
Well, that's right. And I said, you know, President Obama, what a gift to say, oh, by the way, I've negotiated to Cuba, and the Pope helped me.
Yeah.
That didn't hurt the president.
Yeah. That's,
Are you on tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm on, again, I'm doing the pinch hitting for everybody tomorrow.
Oh, all right. Well, then I won't get all sappy with you now and wish you Merry Christmas. We'll
thank
do that tomorrow.
You.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
Right.
I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Bob Neff, former congressman from Ohio, now part of the regular team at Talk Radio News Service, and really good guy. 244-1777, that's our local number in Central Vermont. Toll-free 877-291-8255. If you're looking for a nice gift to give somebody, you could head on down and see our friends at Red Hen Cafe and Bakery today. They have some beautiful items down there. And you could pick up a Panettone when you're down there. Some really nice selections of Vermont wines and some wines from some other places, too. And nice selection of Vermont beers as well. You could pick up some nice, tasty treats, a couple of items you could slip into the stocking there. And while you're there, why not have lunch, too? They always have two great soups available each and every day, one vegetarian, one non-vegetarian. You could get one of their sandwiches they make fresh each and every day right there in the cooler for you, ready to go. You could also get one of their signature sandwiches. If you've never had a grilled cheese at Red Hen Cafe and Bakery, you really have not had a grilled cheese in your life. So try the grilled cheese they have there. They make it right there on the spot, and it's just fantastic. You can always take advantage of their free Wi-Fi service while you're there. And I think the most amazing thing about Red Hen Cafe and Bakery, if you go down there, you'll know exactly what I mean. It is a place that feels like it has bright sunshine on a dark, dreadful, dismal day like today. It's really remarkable. So stopping down and see Randy and Eliza and the rest of the really nice people that work at Red Hen Cafe and Bakery, right off of Interstate 89, exit 9, and that's in Middlesex. We'll take a quick break back after this.
Do you have water damage or soot damage? Call SR Services in Montpelier. They're the experts. Don't get discouraged if your home has been damaged by water from flooding or a leaky roof. SR Services has the equipment and expertise to restore the appearance of your home to like new again. They work on tile and grout floors, too. Gray grout lines will be white again thanks to SR Services. For water and smoke damage or professional carpet cleaning, call SR Services at 223-6577. SR Services, 407 Barry Street in Montpelier, 223-6577.
What's the most important thing when winterizing your car or truck? Jack Castellaneta, Vice President at Formula Nissan, says tires rate right at the top.
At Formula Nissan, we have one of the best selections of tires you'll find in Vermont at competitive prices with one big difference. Our tires are installed by ASE-certified factory-trained technicians.
And that's important. Today's cars have everything from special alloy wheels to advanced suspensions that require special attention.
And we'll give you that special attention at a special price. Right now, we'll mountain balance four tires for just $49.95.
And Formula Nissan consistently ranks as the top Nissan dealer in customer satisfaction in Vermont. So why let just anyone install your tires? Get the best tires installed by the best technicians.
Save more during our winter tire sales drive. The best tires installed at a great price by the best technicians in the business. No appointment necessary, just stop in. We're on the Barry Montpelier Road next to Pizza Hut, or visit us at formulanissan.com. You'll love the service, you'll love the savings, and you'll love how easy it is to do business here.
At Make-A-Wish Vermont, we've got a million things on our minds.
A million? That's a really big number.
That's because right now, we're out to raise over a million frequent flyer miles for our Wishes in Flight program.
It would take like a whole hour to count that high.
Donating your miles is easy, and each mile goes to making wishes come true for deserving children right here in Vermont.
I wish to speak Japanese to Japanese people in Japan.
Children's wishes can take them lots of places, and so can you, by donating your miles to Wishes in Flight. So, will you help us raise a million or more frequent flyer miles?
How about a million, billion, bazillion miles?
We'd take that too. Please visit wishesinflightvt.org to donate your miles. Once donated, miles never expire, so you know each mile will go to making a deserving Vermont child's wish come true. So come on, visit wishesinflightvt.org today.
Now say thank you.
Thank you. Sponsored by People's United Bank.
We are back, And let's give a nice warm radio from up. Welcome this morning to Phil Baruth. I'm not going to identify him anymore as a state senator because we're going to resist the temptation here. So, I mean, can I really have you in here and not talk about politics? Do you think I can actually?
You are the man. You can do anything you want.
Do you think I can actually restrain myself and do that?
No.
Okay.
And I'm happy to talk about whatever you want to, but no, it is the holiday season.
I know. All right. So I'm going to try. I'm going to resist here. First thing I do is here's a bag of Vermont Coffee Company coffee.
Nice.
All right. Take that with you. Don't forget it. Like half the guests leave it here and forget. We get into some argument at the end of the show and then they go leave here in a huff. They leave the coffee behind, and then I get to give it out again. It's sort of this really great. That's actually, I think, the fourth time this bag will have been given out. I'm kidding. So please take that with you. And so on that note, we're going to skip politics today because we have all of January that we can get you on the program. And we're going to talk a little bit about this story that you put together that was part of the Winter Tale festival that happened about a week or so ago. I just have to say ahead of time, I am in such deep trouble, too, in the Bajalian household.
Why?
Because I mentioned that I really liked your story a lot, and even I think I even might have used the word that it was the best one that day.
Uh-oh.
That was a wincer. So I thought they were all great.
Yeah.
As I know, you were there, too. You actually heard somebody else read your story, which must be kind of interesting. Let me start there. What's it like? You put together this story for Winter Tales, and then a professional reader did it. What's that like?
It is kind of weird, doubly weird, because Mark Nash, if people out there know him, he for a long time was the head of Vermont Stage, great actor in his own right, and he's always read my stories. And so when I write now, I hear Mark Nash.
Wow.
Reading. So not only wasn't I reading it, Mark wasn't reading it, was another actor. And so, you know, I just had to give that new guy complete space to do whatever he wanted in my mind. And he was great. Paul Snabel, I think, is his name.
Do you work with these people? Do you say, here's the, you need to put it, emphasis on the word cookie right there or something like that?
No, but if you notice on my script, I put in a lot of little directions that they ignore. So.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's a struggle.
Okay. Could you just do it yourself at Winter Tales if you wanted to?
They've never asked me to because I'm not an actor, so it would be like, you know, asking somebody who wasn't an NBA player to join in.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, if they ever did, man, I'd be right there.
Okay. So is it a mistake for me to have invited you down here? Should I have invited Mark Nash instead?
Well, actually, I do have a pretty long history on the radio. So reading on the radio is something I actually have credentials doing. So you're fine today.
Okay. All right. What's that background?
VPR.
Really?
You know, that other station. That
I've never heard of them. Where are they? Are they on the dial somewhere?
I think it's Mark Johnson, then like WCAX, then Vermont Digger, then VPR, and the new ordering of things.
Okay. See, this
just
is,
kidding. I'm just kidding.
This is the same problem I ran into with the fine folks over in Lincoln. So
yes.
don't go down this route.
Yes.
So the story that you shared with the folks that was shared at Winter Tales deals with the Swedish tradition of Christmas. Overgeneralization?
Right. One of the many traditions that they have around Christmas because they have like 800.
Why is that important to you?
Because I'm married to a Swede, and so, you know, my sort of experience with and love of Christmas traditions, you could fit in an Altoids box, but my wife is the exact reverse. So the Swedes start celebrating Christmas seriously in the beginning of December, and they don't finish until January. And there are multiple holidays, there are you know, 6,000 or 7,000 kinds of decorations in our house, not just Christmas, but, you know, little tomten, which are little elf-like Santa figures. And then, you know, there's a whole range of New Year's and then just the Festival of Lights, Lucia, and, you know, candles and different ways to make the dark Swedish winters go away.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say for the record, you can get a lot in an Altoid box.
You can get a lot of Altoids in an Altoids box.
So did you know what you were getting into when you married your wife in terms of all this tradition?
Does anybody know what they're getting into? Did you know what you were getting into, Mark?
You notice I tried to get that question all in before you answered it.
Yeah. No.
Just Christmas tradition. We'll stick with this morning.
I didn't because we got married in the summer. And everything seemed fine.
Fourth of July wasn't an issue.
Yeah, no. So, but I have to say.
So, really, what's your wife's name?
Annika.
Annika. So, did all of a sudden, like what, mid-December, all of a sudden things started appearing out of boxes, or how did it all unfold?
Absolutely. So, my mother-in-law, when we were married the first year, my mother-in-law came over with a big box from Sweden, and that was a starter box of decorations, and we've just added every year. So really, you know, we have a whole small room full of Swedish Christmas decorations that come out and don't go back in for a long time. And that's what this story is about, is that as we have been married, it's stretched on longer and longer. And this story is about the last holiday that they added to the mix.
Mm-hmm. What was that word you used before, the little characters, little elf color?
Tomten. In Swedish, it's tomterna, you know, the Santa figures. But tomten is like a, he's sort of a cross between St. Nicholas and a troll. So, you know, he has a big beard, but he's kind of stocky. And he wears sort of disheveled clothing. And he comes in at some point during the night and knocks on the door, and everyone lets him in. He comes in, he distributes presents, and then you give him schnapps. Not just one shot of schnapps, but maybe two or three. And then he trudges back out into the snow. And of course, spoiler alert, you know, if you have kids, you might want to cover the radio at this point. But usually Tomten is played by someone, you know, one of the husbands in the group of Swedish-American couples that get together. And so I had to do this one year and was spectacularly bad at it because everyone could tell from my Swedish that I was not half troll.
Uh-huh. It's a little different than the milk and cookies tradition
exactly.
that we have.
Yeah, huh. No, they're very elaborate. And you know, if you put that much effort into it, you get a lot out of it. So the kids just go bananas for all of these treats and traditions and candies and cookies and people coming in and drinking and then leaving, you know.
Did your wife grow up in Sweden or in this country?
No, she grew up in Sweden and came here when she was 30.
Okay.
And she's been here for, you know.
Well, that would stop.
Yeah,
stop
for
right
a
there.
While okay. after yeah. that.
Well, it could have been three times you got in trouble in less than 15 minutes, which would be pretty good on this, even on this program. So did she, when she was growing up, I mean, this was deep.
Yes. In fact, she was Lucia. You know, it's a tradition in every high school, every elementary school in Sweden that when Santa Lucia Day comes, they have a big celebration and everybody dresses as either one of the Lucia girls, which is the white robe with the crown of ivy and lights, or star boys. If mm-hmm. you're a boy, you dress up like a star boy with like a wizard's pointed cap. I'm not kidding you.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, then there's always one Lucia who is the head of the procession.
Okay.
And so my wife was the Lucia, and she's never forgotten it, really. In her mind, she's always Lucia.
So. Wow. Okay. And you're smart to let her feel
absolutely,
that way.
Always.
Does your wife have any thoughts on property tax reform? I'm sorry. Just kidding. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have Phil Baruth share his story about holiday traditions in Sweden. We'll be back right after this.
It's Macy's one-day sale with amazing deals of the day store-wide Friday and Saturday. Take an extra 50 to 60% off clearance sportswear for her and him. Save 30 to 50% plus an extra 25% on select fine jewelry. Take 60% off boots from Style & Co., Bear Traps, and more. Take an extra 15% off all bed and bath from Charter Club Hotel Collection and more. And fragrance gift sets from Coach, Fendi, and more, 40% off. Macy's one-day sale. Doors open 6 a.m. Friday. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Geico Motorcycle presents Reflections from the Road.
You can't beat the open road.
But saving money on motorcycle insurance is a close second. That's why I switched to GEICO. Reminds me of the time I switched to a new helmet without a face mask and swallowed a bunch of gnats when I accidentally yawned. Those suckers tasted bad. Unlike GEICO Motorcycle Savings, which always tastes real good.
GEICO Motorcycle Insurance. See how much you could save.
There's a reason they've been dubbed man's best friend. The unconditional love of a dog can work wonders in the life of a human. In fact, it has been proven that canine companionship greatly improves the mental and physical well-being of children and adults of all ages. Therapy Dogs of Vermont is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization of well-mannered, sweet-tempered, people-loving dogs and their handlers. Our teams visit children in hospitals, the elderly in nursing or retirement homes, and others in need who might gain from the positive benefits of unconditional love. Whatever the need, Therapy Dogs of Vermont are ready and wagging. Therapy Dogs of Vermont provides canine companionship services in Vermont, New Hampshire, and Canada. All dogs are owned by their handlers, certified and insured, and are tested to ensure outstanding temperaments, stable personalities, and most importantly, a great love for humans. The unconditional love of a dog can provide a great source of joy and comfort for anyone in need. For more information, visit therapydogs.org. That's therapydogs.org.
We are back. We're back with Phil Baruth, and we're going to hear his incredible story here about Swedish Christmas traditions. And again, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. So I'm going to let you just take things
away. All right.
I'm just going to now shut up.
So as we were talking about before, this is about the last of many Christmas traditions that my wife has introduced and roped me into. But the title of the piece is called Holiday Revenge of the Swedes, The Plundering of the Christmas Tree. You know, getting older isn't all a losing proposition. Sure, you lose eyesight, hearing, mobility, flexibility. You lose muscle mass, memory, hair, of course. All right, it's mostly a losing proposition. But not entirely, because you gain insight. You suddenly see things that have been right in front of you all along as you've moved blithely through your life. And suddenly these things come into sharp, crystalline focus and you see them. One high-definition example. I've only recently come to understand that the holidays, for all their loveliness and sentiment and all the winking lights and carols streaming from the ceilings of department stores, the holidays are a lot less like Bing Crosby crooning his way through Holiday Inn than they are like Jennifer Lawrence fleeing her way through the Hunger Games. What do I mean by that? This is what I mean by that. As an adult, I can't help realizing that during the holidays, all throughout my life, really, people, and let's be honest, by people, I mean the closest members of my very own family, people have been trying for decades now to kill me during the holidays. Yeah, I said it. Not directly, nothing that overt, nothing that crass. There's always a sort of celebratory finesse to it all, as though these family members love me and the holiday at hand more than they can say, and they're having the time of their lives as they subtly order events to produce the end of mine. There's an old saying now that makes perfect, vivid sense to me. You're not paranoid if they really are trying to kill you with Christmas. You're not paranoid at all. You've just finally become one of the wise men. Now, this stuff only comes into true focus in hindsight, because really they're only still trying to kill you now because they failed so many times when you were a kid. And because I grew up in upstate New York in the 60s and early 70s, here's the way they always worked it. First, we went to both my grandmother's houses on Christmas Eve, one after the other, regardless of the weather. And by regardless, I mean wantonly, without regard. Even the emergency broadcasting system, breaking into the AM radio playlist, produced only an elaborate shrug from my father. Winds buffeting the sides of my dad's 1968 green Buick sedan, sliding from one slick shoulder of the road to the other, the windshield eerie and webbed by freezing rain, we made that double grandmother run on Christmas Eve no matter who might get hurt. But the most dangerous conditions were never outside the car. No, no, no. They were inside and fully in my parents' control. Like most children of the 60s and 70s, I was raised by 2.5-pack-a-day chain smokers, and under no circumstances could the sedan's windows ever be cracked, let alone opened, as we drove through the snow squall. My father's excuse for not opening the windows in the winter was that it was too cold, and the excuse in the summer was that we had the air conditioning on. But the relentless truth was that my family always traveled down that long road to grandmother's houses in a perfect cube of toxins. The Buick was like a mobile secondhand smoke experiment, and I can't look back on it now without horror and amazement. This was not some act of God like the sullen, treacherous weather outside the car. This was treachery visited upon us by our parents, the people who tucked us in at night, the people who seemed so loving and selfless as they sawed the crusts off our peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. All right, okay. Let's bend over backward to be charitable. Let's say the smoke chamber wasn't entirely their fault. My mom and dad were addicted to nicotine, and Big Tobacco had conveniently forgotten to warn them about secondhand smoke. I get it. But then, how do you explain this? There were 3 seatbelts in the backseat of my dad's Buick, and my parents had 4 kids. So they squared the circle by storing me, their youngest, the baby, the winsome apple of their eye, on the little plastic shelf just behind the back seat and beneath the rear window of the sedan. Yeah, they'd just stick me back up in there like some half-remembered stuffed animal and then go on about their dark holiday business. All right, I enjoyed riding in that little space, but that was mostly because my mother once told me it had been designed specifically for me by the guys at the Buick factory. But let's not get sidetracked. Not only was there no seatbelt back there, but my mother always lined that shelf with a blue nylon blanket, which was plush and comfy, and which also served to make any movement along the plastic surface entirely friction-free. And we all know what that means. If my father had ever even once tapped the brake while he drove through the Christmas Eve squall, which he resolutely refused to do, I would have been catapulted directly through the front windshield. On the other hand, if we'd ever been struck from behind, I'd have been launched through the rear window that rose up only inches from my nose. Death lay in either direction. I was their baby, yes. But let's not forget the way the song Rockabye Baby always ends. Down will come baby, cradle and all. And that's a nursery rhyme. That's meant to lull kids to sleep. You can't make this stuff up. This all really happened. Top all this off with the fact that at our first grandmother stop, my father's mother, Grandma Wheezy, always met my parents at the door with martini glasses full of a holiday drink called a grasshopper, equal parts creme de menthe and creme de cacao blended noisily together with ice and sweet cream. Creme de menthe, if you've never forced a glass down, is like some potent green narcotic that Pfizer developed and then tried to disguise with cheap mint extract. Anyway, to my eye, these grasshoppers looked a lot like green milkshakes, which was just a little too frou-frou for my father. And so his mother always made his a variation called a flying grasshopper, in which the cream is replaced with straight vodka. Big green sedatives is what these things really were, and my parents would drain 2 each, plus, as was fashionable at the time, another half a glass for the road. And then it was back out into the squall where we'd make a desperate 45-minute lunge for grandmother number 2. And I don't even want to go into what happened there. So, just to recap, small defenseless child riding deliberately unsecured on the slippery back shelf of a sedan that would never have cleared modern safety standards, enveloped in a fog of carcinogenic particulates and driven through the blizzard by what all of us would clearly recognize here in the early 21st century as a drunk driver. And so, maybe for that reason, I eventually married a Swede. Seriously, I think that growing up, I knew, deep down inside somehow, I knew I was in my own family's crosshairs every holiday season. And so when it came time for me to strike out and form a family of my own, I wanted one thing more than any other, a non-lethal holiday experience. And so, subconsciously, I sought out a woman from a culture famous for the innocence and sweetness of their traditions. Yes, Annika is beautiful and brilliant and a wonderful mother, and she's given me 2 amazing children, but the crucial thing she brought to the marriage was an absence of malice aforethought. And for the first years that we were married, it all worked like a charm, at least for a while. Santa Lucia was a Yuletime dream. The angelic children in their simple white tunics, their golden hair tinged with candles as they sang of the winter's darkness and the coming of the light. Sure, none of the Swedes I asked could really explain why Sweden celebrates the exploits of a 5th century Italian saint, but I didn't really mind. I found the Swedes' embrace of her endearing and cute and reassuring. And then came Christmas, and Swedish Christmas was utterly lovely, too. Pepparkakor, these impossibly thin ginger snap cookies. Knack, Swedish Christmas toffee. 14 kinds of herring. And instead of Santa, a visit from Tomten, a big bearded visitor who shows up just after dinner and hands out the kids' packages and then knocks back a couple of shots of schnapps before he trudges back out the front door. It was brilliant. The holiday season all ran like clockwork, and European clockwork at that. The biggest problem we had that first year was trying to reconcile the Swedish tradition of opening presents on Christmas Eve with our tradition of tearing into the pile on Christmas morning. We settled it in a spirit of abundance by opening presents pretty much around the clock from the morning of December 24th through the wee hours of the 25th. It was literally all good, expensive but very good and calm and sweet and nonviolent. Until we had children of our own. And then suddenly things changed, right around the beginning of January. Suddenly one year, Annika just refused to throw away the Christmas tree. Annika's mother, Birgit, was staying with us through the holidays, and she also became noticeably protective of the now-dead Christmas tree. They started dropping broad hints about an entirely new holiday. Now, as an American man, I thought we were done with festivities once New Year's Eve had run its course. Your hangover on New Year's Day marks the official end of all major holidays, am I right? Isn't that our birthright as Americans? Of course, I'd noticed that Annika refused to throw out the Christmas tree for a really, really long time, but that didn't strike me as all that strange. Quirky, but not all that strange. What's the difference, I thought? Some people have a hard time letting go. And that was when Annika sat me down and told me why we were saving the tree. Turns out the last Swedish holiday event is called Julgransplundring, or in English, the plundering of the Christmas tree. It's mostly for kids, and now that we had kids, we were going to plunder our own tree. And while I'd been at work that day, Annika and Mormor Birgit had taught Gwendolyn and Miranda exactly what to do. They'd all spent the day practicing plundering. I was the only one in the dark about what lay ahead. Now, as rituals go, it started out normal and precious enough. After packing away the ornaments and the strings of Christmas lights, we hung candy from the dry branches with little pieces of red thread. And the candy was all Swedish candy that Birgit had secretly smuggled over with her. All of it just that little bit foreign to American tastes. These milk chocolate caramels called plopp, and these green marzipan rolls called dammsugare, which means vacuum cleaners. I know, don't even ask. But like most things Swedish, even the dried little brown tree looked somehow undeniably cute and wholesome and old world when we'd finished hanging the candy by the little red threads. The kids were now literally jumping for joy. They knew exactly where all this was headed. Our living room was filling with a strange, wild energy, sort of like one of the beach scenes from Lord of the Flies. Still, the ritual seemed cute and wholesome for another few minutes. It unfolded like a holiday version of Pin the Tail on the Donkey, with one member of the family standing up about 10 feet away from the tree, there to be solemnly and securely blindfolded by the rest. Even I understood that the object was for the blindfolded person to somehow get at the candy hanging from the branches. But I thought you'd be allowed to use your hands. Looking back on it, I can't believe I was that naive. We started with Birgit, Annika's mom, who is a lovely woman, but also, as the distant offspring of Vikings, fairly physically imposing. And once we had her blindfolded, we spun her slowly in a circle. And we sang a little song Annika quickly taught me, a song about spinning someone in a circle. I won't sing it, but it involves a lot of repetition of the phrase snurra runt, which means turn around. And the effect of all this snurring around is that the blindfolded person is meant to be completely disoriented. And that's when all pretense of cuteness is at an end. Because then the ritual demands that you put a big old pair of sharp scissors in the blindfolded person's hand, and not their good hand, but their bad hand. And then that person, blind, dizzy, clumsy-handed, lurches across the living room, wielding an immense pair of shears. Of course, if you're the one with the shears, you're trying to maximize your chances of making contact with threads or candy. So rather than use small trial probes in the dark with their scissors, Swedes tend to favor big, sweeping, horizontal slashing moves instead, which is what Birgit proceeded to do. Lunge, slash, lunge, slash. You'd think that the only way this could get any more dangerous is if you set the tree itself on fire. But you'd be wrong. Because kids love candy more than life itself. And kids also love to see what's going on in any situation, especially a thrilling situation. And so Miranda and Gwendolyn, my daughters, began quickly closing in to see exactly where their lunging, blindfolded, scissor-wielding Mormor would make contact with the denuded Christmas tree. And as she moved blindly toward the tree and toward my daughters, flashing the points of the shears, they moved inexorably toward her, spellbound with excitement and joy. To me, the only one in the room frozen in horror, the whole scene was pretty much indistinguishable from Nightmare on Elm Street. Except, no one was screaming, and everyone was, you know, singing, and acting like this was a perfectly splendid way to spend an evening in deep winter. All of the trauma of my own early Christmases came rushing back to me unbidden. The smoke-filled sedan, the snow squalls, the flying grasshoppers. And I felt myself literally unable to move for a moment. Fear had me absolutely gripped. But there are some forces in this world larger and more powerful than self-preservation. And the parents out there know what I'm talking about. These were my children whose lives were being threatened. And because I'm their father, regardless of country of origin, I did what I felt had to be done. My body was moving before I was even aware of it, the way heroes most often accomplish the heroic. And it accomplished what seemed physically impossible. I suddenly snapped out of my paralysis and became a blur of motion. Yes, I actually threw my body between Gwendolyn and Miranda and the scissors, yelling a warning as I did so. No! And then there was the sort of really long silence. At which point I remember Miranda, the 7-year-old, suddenly smacking my arm really hard and yelling at me, "Daddy, you're totally ruining our first plundering." And Gwendolyn, the 12-year-old, giving me her newly perfected stare of death and adding for good measure, "Oh my God, Dad, that is literally the most embarrassing thing I have ever experienced." And Annika and Birgit now with the blindfold pulled up just enough to show one raised eyebrow, both of them looking at me yet again like the excitable American who can't ever quite get with the Swedish program. At which point I went upstairs to lie down, which was good because it turns out that there was yet one more twist to Yule Gran's plundering. As the blindfolded person lunges toward the tree, two other family members pick the tree up and silently sneak it to an entirely different part of the room, which means that the blind person can only hope to reach the candy by slashing wildly at any sound in any direction. Great fun. But a good marriage isn't just slapped together with packing tape, and no one single insane tradition can put it asunder. I'm not ashamed. I went to see a professional, a holiday therapist, who diagnosed me with something called Christogeniaticodendrophobia, which is actually a neurotic fear of Christmas trees. And that struck me as true enough. And this woman gave me a prescription that I fill every year about this time, and everything's been more or less a winter wonderland since then. True, every few years my in-laws still pull out some completely new ritual with some new Swedish name and some new deadly weapon. Some way of marking the coming spring, maybe, with a candle, a dish of crushed walnuts, and a staple gun. I never know what's involved exactly, and I never really know what they're all saying in Swedish, but I know for a fact that all of these traditions make my girls deliriously happy, and seeing them beside themselves with joy makes me deliriously happy. In fact, after 16 years, I can't feel as though Christmas is really over now until I end it like a Swede by singing to my dead Christmas tree as I throw it on the trash heap. Why do Swedes do this? To let the tree know that it was a good tree. And songs don't get any more poignant than this. Here it is in English. Now happy Christmas is over, over, over. The Christmas tree we are throwing out, out, out. But only until next year, again, he will come, our old friend, because that he has promised. A lovely song. And we sing it the way some Native American tribes would apologize to a moose or a beaver that they had hunted and killed. A way of saying, we respect the sacrifice you've made for our village. A way of saying, please don't come back as an angry beaver spirit and kill us. A way of saying, God rest ye, merry gentlemen.
Brilliant. That was really good. I hope you're as proud of that as... Are you proud of that? That's really great.
Of the story?
Yeah.
I'm not proud of the way I reacted, but maybe of the story.
Yeah, it's a great story. Thank you for coming in, and Merry Christmas to you, and I know tomorrow's kind of a big day.
Yeah, and as you said, in January, we'll rip into all of the many
politics.
Stories of the day.
Yep.
And can I just say...
There'll be a few, you know, totems or whatever. That.
Tomtons. Before I leave, I just want to say Merry Christmas. And to thank you for everything you do during the year. I know you got thanked after Irene formally for what you do by a number of outlets, but I'm one of the people who's out there listening to you. You're one of the very few outlets anymore that does real politics. You're one of the very few people who does follow-up questions. When you have a politician in, you do two or three follow-ups to drill down into their talking points. And for political junkies like me out there, that's... worth its weight in gold. So,
wow, what a nice thing to say. Thank
Happy holidays.
You. I appreciate that. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Do you have super sensory skills? Are you a flavor enthusiast? If so, the Keurig Green Mountain Sensory Test Center wants to hear from you. We are looking for consumer panelists to test a variety of food and beverage products from Green Mountain Coffee and other brands. This will be a periodic and ongoing opportunity at our test facility in Waterbury Center. No experience necessary. Plus, for every 30-minute session you attend, we'll give you an Amazon gift card just for giving us your opinions. How sweet is that? Want to learn more? Give us a shout at 802-882-2703.
Did you know that you can e-cycle your old electronics for free? There are new laws in Vermont designed to keep toxic electronics out of our landfills and make it easy to e-cycle. If you have old computers or monitors, peripherals like printers, scanners, or keyboards, even old televisions, you can drop them off at over 90 locations across the state. Find a location online at vtecycles.org or call 1-855-6-E-CYCLE. It's absolutely free for all Vermont households, school districts, nonprofits, and small businesses with 10 or less employees. But remember, your privacy is your responsibility. Personal information should be completely removed from your hard drives before recycling them. For information about data destruction or to find a drop-off location, visit vtecycles.org or call 855-6-E-CYCLE. It's easy to e-cycle.
2745 delivered during the countdown to 2800 at Lamoille Valley Ford. Folks, with our goal in sight, we are going to make at least 55 more crazy deals to get there. From now through the end of the year, you can buy or lease any new car or SUV in stock at Lamoille Valley Ford and get a $1,000 gas card or discount of equal value. And truck buyers, hear this. Lamoille Valley Ford will double your gas card to $2,000 towards any F-Series truck we have in stock. Right now, between our two dealerships, we have the largest selection of vehicles available in our history, including the biggest selection of F-Series trucks in New England, and many have plows and dumps ready to go. And at Lamoille Valley Ford, we make deals because we know price matters. So drive Route 14, 15, or 16 to Hardwick and Lamoille Valley Ford. Come help us reach our goal and get a $1,000 or $2,000 gas card during the final days of the countdown to 2800 going on now at Lamoille Valley Ford.
I want to thank Phil Baruth for coming in and sharing that great story. Wasn't that great? Nice way to spend a couple of days here before Christmas. Coming up tomorrow on the program, We're going to chat with Senator Patrick Leahy to kick off the program. We'll talk about the change in the relationship, maybe. We'll see if it actually comes to pass with the United States and Cuba. The senator playing a key role in the freeing of a captive, an agent that was being held down in Cuba. So we'll chat with them. Also coming up on the program tomorrow, we're going to talk about the power of the Beatles. You know, I think most people recognize that the Beatles probably the greatest musical band of all time, and really interesting book talking about what it really was. Why were they so popular above and beyond their incredible music? But really, they were just such a cultural force. So we'll talk about that coming up on the program tomorrow. Friday, I will be in. Thursday, obviously, I'll be off. Friday, I'll be in, and we'll be featuring some excerpts from some interviews from earlier this year. You know, you're welcome to join us, thoughts, conversation as well, too. But we'll be focusing on pretty much some people that we talked to earlier this year. So look forward to that on Friday. And then next week, I will be off. Let me take a moment of your time to remind you about our good friends at Jet Service Envelope. If you're looking for an outstanding local printer to make it all happen for you, those are our friends at Jet Service Envelope. They can make it happen for you. Maybe you need a couple of calendars here to start the new year. Maybe you need some new letterhead and envelopes for your business. Give it that nice fresh look here for 2015. And you can do that easily with one phone call. And they will help you when you call because they have a pretty vast inventory over at Jet Service Envelope. So they will help you weed through what you want to have to be the look for your company or for you as an individual. Nothing, you know, nothing prevents individuals from calling them and getting some nice letterhead. You know, you're going to want to be sending out some nice thank you notes after Thursday, presumably, if you've been relatively good this year. So call our friends at Jet Service Envelope, and you can reach them today at 229-9335, 229-9335, and on the web at jetservice-envelope.com. Our friends, too, at Green Mountain Access would encourage you to sign up for their service to begin 2015. Why not start the year with a local internet service provider if you're using one that's out of town? Might as well keep your money local if you can. And we encourage you to do that by calling the folks at Green Mountain Access at 1-888-321-0815 on the web at gmavt.net. We're going to take you out this morning with another tune here from the Miller Trio, Randy, Michael, and Brian Miller. And I think you'll recognize this tune. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody. Come back and join us same time, same place tomorrow. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugar Bush, 96.5 in Berry and Montpelier, and AM 550 WDEV Waterbury and Montpelier. News is coming your way next.
Rita Foley. We'll start on Wall Street with a first. The Dow hit 18,000 this morning and is still going. Traders got some good news about the economy.